Not that I don't think y'all can hear my big loud mouth. But I'm sure you can. Hey, man. But in either case, we thank God for letting us be here for another day's journey.
My boy.
Amen. And there is a word from the Lord today. Amen. And I didn't print these because it actually came from looking at some older messages that had been online that were in alignment with our theme, which is learning to love like Jesus. Amen. Now, most of you know about that theme that we introduced at the beginning of the year. And we began to talk about fuel for the discipleship of love and things along that line. And we said that what our goal would be is to fulfill what Jesus said when he said that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. In other words, there's going to be a badge of who you are in me if ye have love one to another. So that's what got me to thinking in this vein, that there are reasons why we are called, and we have to learn to focus what a disciple is, because there's a lot of different kinds of disciples in the world. You know that. There's a group that some of you heard of, this may be too old for some of you, called the Hells Angels.
Yep.
And they have disciples.
Yep.
And we can go on and talk about different groups of people who have disciples. So a disciple is not anything of itself. It's whose disciple are you? That's the question. And if we are his disciple, Jesus said that he said that the world will know that you are my disciples. Now, it's okay if you want to be a disciple of some of these other things. That's up to you. Because God makes you, as we said during the prayer time, a free moral agent. In other words, you can choose what you do. And you know what else? God will hold us responsible for what we do. See? And so he gave us a way. There's only one loophole in all the universe, and that's the reason why you continuously hear us pronounce what we call the gospel, the good news. God has put his, you could say it's like if you were playing an opponent. How many of you have played a card game? I'm not trying to get into your personal life, but have you ever played cards against somebody? Okay, you know what's in your hand, and you can only see so many cards out of the 52 cards at one time, right? So, you know, these cards here and the ones I can see that may be on the table for whatever reason, but you don't know what's in your opponent's hand. And so that's what makes it interesting, is that I'm holding in my hand some cards that you don't know which ones they are. Now, you know which ones they aren't because you know the ones in your hand and the ones you see on the table or the ones you could remember, but you don't know what's in my hand. And so that's what makes it drama, kind of, is that you're looking at, well, what's in my opponent's hand. And if there's more than one person, that adds more to it, because there could be anything in anybody's hand and you don't know where it's coming from.
Yep.
See? And so sometimes that makes it where you don't know what's going on. But in the case of God, this is what I wanted to say. God is saying, you know what? This is what's in my hand right here. And he gave us his word.
Yes.
He put his cards on the table, so to speak. But you know, this is what I'm coming down with. That's probably a bad illustration, but you probably understand it. Because he's saying, here's what's in my hand. It's
right.
Called the Holy Bible. It starts here in Genesis, and it goes all the way clear over here to Revelation. And I'm telling you everything that you need to know from my end of the deal for time and eternity. There's nothing else coming from me. I've already said that. I closed the book and sealed it with a curse. So I've said everything I intend. So that ought to make this to you and me, if we say we believe God, this ought to be the most important thing in your life. It's what did God say? What is his word on this? What's in his hand? You hear Capital One talking about what's in your wallet. Well, God's saying, well, what's in your hand? Here, do you have my word in your hand? And then you hear the Allstate dude talking about, are you in good hands?
Yep.
Or are you in his hands? I want to ask you today.
Amen.
Because somebody wrote a song, he got what? The whole world.
The whole world in his hand.
You know what? He already told you. Everything in my hand is right here. Don't you want to expect any surprises from me on judgment day? Yeah, because I already told you. Here it is. Nothing's going to happen any different than what God said. Now, you know what? That scares a lot of people. If you have your life dead set on being unrighteous, that's scary to you. That's why you want to say there is no God. That's why the fool is saying in his heart, there is no God. See? Because it's foolish. Because God says, I have published my word to the whole world. I don't have any more secrets. I told you in here everything you need. See? And if you walk by faith and not by sight, believe what I said, even against what you hear. Now, we hear contradictory stuff every day that contradicts God's word. We got folks talking about global warming, and they say it's man's fault. It's your fault. The planet is getting hotter and hotter. I said, you know what? That's ridiculous, because I read in here where God said in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, all of you global warmists, that he says here right in the book, and whether you believe it or you don't, God says that there's going to be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer shall not cease as long as the earth remains. So somebody is a liar, and I want to go on record saying I believe God. Now, I don't know what anybody else believes, and I don't care what you see changing and all of that. I believe what God says. In Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, how long is that? That's from the time of Noah's flood up until the last day, whenever that is. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, that's how we plant and grow. They don't understand that either. They say that evolved. Cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's what God said. That's the end of it. He said, my hand is open. And you believe him or you don't. And I don't care if you say you or I believe God, but I believe the sciences. Well, no, you don't. Because somebody is wrong. Somebody's wrong, and we're going to find out who it is before it's all over. Now, yeah, you see some stuff changing that you don't understand, but you know what? You haven't been looking long enough. That's the whole problem there, and I'm not up here to shoot down global warming. God already did it. I'm just up here to say God already says there is no global warming that you need to worry about. Now, that doesn't mean stuff's not changing and all of that, and they say, oh, it's because of greenhouse gases. That's what you say. Now, you want me to trust my soul on your science? I don't think so. I'm trusting my soul on his science.
Yes.
Period. And either he's right or he's wrong. And either you're going to be right and God is wrong, or God is going to be right and you're wrong. That's the choice. And the Bible says, let God be true, though every man a liar. See what I'm saying? So I stand on what thus saith the Lord. I don't care how old it is, how long it's been written. See, it's what God said. Now, how do you and I arrive at that kind of a resolute faith? I'm going to tell you some things here today, because this got put on my heart when I was trying to put this together. There's a lot of stuff that we have obstacles in our humanity to getting the fullness of the benefit of what God said in his word to work in our life. You know what? It's going to work one day. It's going to be by force. But right now, God says it's a free culture, a free society. I've allowed man to do what he wants. I've told you my side on it. This is everything I have to say. You're going to find out in here, the Bible says it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or tittle. That means even the punctuation in what I wrote is 100% right. And you can invest your life on it and stake your life to it, because I said it. It's done. It's the decree of the Most High God. So don't trifle with his word, first of all. The word is the decree of the Most High God. He says easier for heaven and earth to pass away. It says easier for everything just to go out of creation than for anything I said to fail. So you don't have to worry about what I said. If I told you I got you covered and you can do all things through Christ, don't let the devil come to you and say, or the flesh say, well, you know, you're having a hard time. Things ain't working out for you. You a liar and the truth ain't in you. God said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, if I delight myself in him, he will give me the desires of my heart. So how am I going to crumble up now under the pressure of the flesh? Or the man down in the city hall writing you a letter, you're going to have a problem. No, God said, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't care what hall you sit in. I don't care if you sit on Pennsylvania Avenue up in Washington. Don't make no difference if you sit in Moscow or wherever you sit. God sits up in the heavens, and he said, I'm going to be all right. That's where you got to get. Forget the smoke screen. The devil always has a smoke screen. I'm going to make you think, oh, I'm going to blow some smoke over here. He tried to do it to Jesus. You know what? If you're the Son of God, what you doing hungry? Why are you hungry and you made everything? That don't make no sense. Why don't you just steal these stones and be made bread? You can do that. That's easy for God. You know what Jesus said? Went right back in here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Every word.
Yeah, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten for 40 days and nights. Yes, I'm human. I was born of a virgin. Came out of the womb, a little baby. You tried to kill me when I came, but you wasn't successful. Now you're coming around again with all your lies, tempting me.
Yep.
See, to disobey God. Yeah. See what I'm saying? But he said, you know what? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil couldn't answer that one. So now let me try something else. That was the flesh, temptation of the flesh. You know what I'm going to do? You want to be popular, you know, all that. Let's just go up here to the temple. That's where you want your popularity among the Jews. Take you up here to the pinnacle of the temple. Tell you, just throw yourself down. It's written. He said, I see you like the Bible. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. So go ahead. He said, but it's also written, Satan, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See that? So notice he went from the valley where he was hungry,
yep,
a little higher to the temple. He took him into an exceeding great and high mountain. I'm taking you up and up and up and up.
Yep.
That's what the devil wants you to think. You're going up with me. But you know what? You ain't going up with him.
No.
He ain't trying to. He might take you up, make you think you up. He's got a lot of folk who think they up. But you know, we always say this, even the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The higher you take you up, the lower you're going to fall. Jesus said, I was watching when Satan fell from heaven like lightning. See, he threw him down. He was cast down to the earth. But he took Jesus up into the mountain and said, hey, you know what? I give you all the kingdoms of the world. You know, if you just bow down and worship me. You know what he's saying? Be gone, devil, because it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know what that means? You think I'm going to bow to you, sucker? Guess what? You're going to bow to me before it's over. Why? Because every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what? If the devil got a knee, guess what, buddy? You're going to bow to me. I'm not bowing to you. And every tongue is going to confess. That means your fiery little tongue, your split forked tongue is going to say, Jesus is Lord before it's all done. You know, you're going to worship me. What makes you think I'm going to bow down and worship you? So you got to be careful. And I just said all that. That's my exposition. Now let's get into the word. I want you to understand that if you're going to learn to love like Jesus, you got a long way to go. And it's not just you, me too. Especially me. I'm going to add that. Because Jesus was a very unique individual. He was the most unique human being that there's ever been.
Ever been.
You know why? Because he was completely God before he started.
Yes, he was.
And he became completely man in the process of fulfilling what he had promised that he would do in eternity. It was not an afterthought. This was something well-planned, the most well-planned event in the history of humanity. It was planned and set in motion before anything existed. Nothing existed in God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Said, this is the way it's going to go down. They decided in eternity that there would be somebody who would redeem man. You know what that means? That means God already knew, since I'm making you free, you're going to sin against me and do wrong. And once sin comes in, the contamination is malignant.
That's right.
It can't be fixed, not by any human
being. No way.
It can't be fixed by science and technology. It cannot be fixed by any of these things that man thinks is a solution to some of the problems that the world has. You know what? It can't even be understood in the first place. Scientists don't understand it, and so they want to say it's not so the way God said it. It's not so, but it's like this. 45 billion years ago, there was a big collision. And what started this collision? Where did these colliding bodies come from? Oh, we don't know about that. You know, we're 40 million years ago. Yeah. How old are you, sir? Oh, I'm about 49. Well, you know what? You better figure it out in about another 49 years or less, or you're not going to be able to handle it. God told you completely everything you need. And I want to assert to you today here at St. Timothy MB Church and around the world, anywhere my voice can be heard, God's word is the most thorough document in the history of time, and it will never be shut down at all. It will never be. See, and if you're wondering, folks in these other churches, talking about we're going to vote on what we're going to do, open your Bible and read it. You don't have to vote. God told you what to do. What you going to vote for? What you going to vote for? What makes you think your vote is worth anything when God has already spoken? See, God said it, that's enough. You don't even have to believe it if you don't want to. That'll be your problem. God said it, that settles it. That's the truth. See, and when we're going to find out, you know what? One day in eternity, I hope to look across and see your faces. Look across and see your face, and you're going to remember this day that God told you, and you don't have to worry about anything. You're going to have a faith so deep, you're going to look around and say, boy, that's exactly what we heard. Yes. You know, it's not because Fisher said it. That don't make it special. Right. It's special because God said it. And nobody can change it. Don't care what they do. People have doctored the word and tried to alter what it says. Went in and tried to edit the translation and all that. You know what? People say, well, you know what? When they wrote the Bible, it wasn't in English. Yeah, that's true. You know? But do you think that God would allow his word to be tampered with so his people don't know what he wants them to do? Was that the kind of God you serve? That's what I want to ask him. Is that the kind of God you serve? Well, what about all those books that were left out? God said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Why would I tell you to live by every word if you don't have it? It's not available to you. How am I going to hold you accountable for it? Does that make sense? A God that can make a tree or a flower or a fish. They got fish we don't even know about yet. I'm trying to find them so I can put some cornmeal on them. But there's all kinds of fish we don't know anything about. You see what I'm saying? They find a new one. Oh, here's one here we didn't know about. He lives down 65 miles in the sea. That's got to go with the sea, might be 165 miles down. And there's some more down there you don't know anything about. See what I'm saying? So they come across one every so often, washed up on the beach. Oh, what is this? God, that must have been one of the extinct species. Well, it ain't extinct. There's one right there. You fool. How can it be extinct? And there's one sitting here. You think it's extinct. It's extinct in your pusillanimous mind because you don't believe what God said.
Yes.
So don't worry about that. That's a side note. Let's go on to this. Here, we got to get to this. Time's running out. So what I want you to understand today is that you and I need a lot of adjustments. Let me tell you what's wrong with us. You know what's wrong with us? We do not like authority. Don't want nobody over me. Don't want nobody over me. Not in my marriage. Not in my family. Not in the church. Don't want nobody presiding over me. You know, we don't like authority.
We don't.
People hate the police, and they hate the government. Lord God established government in Genesis 9, verse 6, the establishment of human government.
Yes, he did.
He said there, if man sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God created he man. So I'm giving man authority. And we got folks talking about, well, does the Bible say capital punishment is okay? Yes, it does. Now do right so you don't have to get any. That's the whole deal. Do right so you don't have to get any. What about the people who died and they weren't where they were innocent? Well, do right, I said. Make right judgments. Don't misjudge people. Don't say he's black, so I'm going to slide him in instead of somebody of another color so he can take the rap. That's unjust. That's unrighteous. That's unholy. That's ungodly. God doesn't condone anything unrighteous or anything unholy. He said, make right judgments. If you don't know, that's why the Bible says stuff like, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every fact be established. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out yourself. What is the counsel of God on the matter that I'm dealing with? What is the counsel of God? That's what I want to know. I don't want to jump to conclusions about anything. And you know what? Sometimes it's not going to come to you in 5 minutes. We want an instant answer. Right now. There you go. Right, we got the microwave mentality. And that ain't quick enough. We pat our foot in the microwave. How are you going to be done? 20 more seconds. Oh, my God. And we sit there because we want it right now. And we've learned and been spoiled by the lifestyle that we have. And we don't remember when you had to walk 2 miles to get to the well and all that kind of thing. And then you got to pump 30 minutes before you get in the water. Then you got to carry it back to the house before you can cook something. We don't remember all that. See, now we cut on the faucet. Oh, it's running slow today. You know, we got problems with patience. We got problems with authority. We hate authority. We do. We really don't want no authority. And God has put systems in the world to protect us. That's what the law is for. Now, if it doesn't do it, don't blame God. If the law is wrong and they're doing stuff like the police who stole the lady's phone, are you kidding me? She's in jail and you stole her phone? Come on now. That's what I'm saying. Come on now. You hear about that kind of stuff. The police breaking in people's house. That's not the purpose of police. See? And when you see people doing wrong, don't blame God.
All right.
He wouldn't have them do that.
No way.
If it's a judge who made a bad decision or a court that made a bad decision, think of how the world would be with no police, with no army, with no navy, with no any of these authorities that God has set up in the world. It's bad with all that. How would it be if everybody knew when you dial 911, ain't nothing going to happen? Would you be able to keep anything? No, it would be a dog-eat-dog world. It's much better with police, with the Army, with the Air Force, with the Marines, people to stop evil people from running rampant. See, if it wasn't for those authorities that God set in place, the world would be much worse than it is now. See, and it doesn't give them any authority or license to twist or pervert what God said. It ought to make them be more upright and do what God said. Because he is honoring me. You know what else? The Bible says there are no authorities except those that are ordained by God. See, and when you violate those authorities, you violate the ordinance of God. Romans 13, read it for yourself. See, so he says, honor those who are in authority. So rather than me criticizing Mr. Trump, I'm going to pray for Mr. Trump.
Amen.
Mr. Trump better do what he's supposed to do. Because since God entrusted you with that authority, he's holding you accountable for that authority. If you twist and pervert what God intended for you to do, you got trouble. Serious trouble. You think Putin going to do something to you. Wait till you see what God's going to do to you. You worried about Vladimir Putin and all these folks. Kim Jong-un, he might have a bomb. You think his bomb is bad. Wait till you go in the grave without Jesus. You want to talk about bad. The Bible talks about the last trump. You better try to understand that. That might be you. So you need to do right. The prophet used to speak out, and it was the prophet who held the king accountable. That's how Jeremiah ended up in the prison. He told the king, you know what God said? You're going to lose your throne and be carried away into Babylon. Lock him up. I don't want to hear that. Throw him in the deepest, darkest prison there is. For saying that. You change your mind, Jeremiah? No, sir. Thus saith the Lord. Told you exactly when it's going to be. And you sat up there and ignored it. Threw me in the hot, deepest jail you could find. And I told you weeping. So you know why he told it? You can repent, King. You can start doing the right thing right now. And maybe God will change his mind about what he told me is going to happen to you. But instead, no, I don't want to hear it. I'm the king. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You got a lot of nerve. Don't you see my throne? Don't you see my throne? What? Knock him out. Right now. Throw him in the jail. Because he kept saying the truth. Jeremiah said, hey, you know what? I need to just quit talking because I can't speak for God because every time I do, I end up in trouble. Called him a weeping prophet.
Yep.
You know what? He said, I couldn't help it, though. I had to speak up. It was like a fire shut up in my bones if I don't say the truth. Why don't we have that fire in our bones? Instead, we get in the crowd at the water cooler. Everybody's talking about the hood, you know. Same-sex marriage, blah, blah, blah. Why don't we speak up? But we don't want to be humiliated in public and be called homophobic. You know what I'm telling them? I'm saying, you know what? You bibliophobic. That's the problem. Ain't got nothing to do with what you're talking about. You scripturalphobic. Truthophobic. And this is not to mock you. It says God's counsel is not going to change. It don't make no difference if you like it or you don't. It's not going to change. So you can keep on pressing and knocking on a bad door. It's not going to change. Now, I'm not against you. God loves you and he'll accept you no matter what you're dealing with. But don't go make him a liar. Don't make him a liar. You know what? People who believe and trust God that are in the church struggle with all kinds of sexual conflicts. Really, we do. We struggle with it. It's in our face now everywhere. It's not easy to do the right thing. See, but it's a different thing for you to struggle with it and confess it and know that it's wrong than for you to say God is wrong. That's a whole other thing. That's another level of a rejection of authority. I'm just going to condone it and let's just make it legal because I can't stop smoking marijuana. So let's just make it legal. Then we don't have to feel bad about it. I can't stop soliciting prostitutes because I got a habit now doing it. So let's just legalize it. Then we don't have to feel bad about it. We're going to legalize all kinds of stuff according to man's desire to do these evil things. See? We just make it legal, then we don't have to feel bad about it. But that's not what Jesus would have you to do. Because we are the ones who are to be his disciples. And we have to understand when people are out of the way. Because we were all, like Paul said, we were all once foolish and living in sin. That's what he told Titus in the book of Titus. And I'm just going to take a few words here because my time's getting away. It's amazing. And that's why it was hard for me to codify exactly what we wanted to get into here today. But this is it because I want you to understand that this is the mind of God on these things. It's volatile in our times to look at how the world is going and look at our place. Where do we interface with where the world is? You know something? God has called you for such a time as this, like we read about Esther in the book of Esther. And she was in the place she was at the time she needed to be for such a time as this. See, because it was at the right time. So God knows where you are in your life. He knows your sphere of life. He knows what you're dealing with every day. He understands all that you're going through. But he still wants you to understand where he is coming from. And keep his authority above everything. We have problems with parental authority. That's what happens. I remember my kids used to love every little thing I said. It was like I was God almost to them. They wouldn't disbelieve anything. Then it got to the place where they didn't believe anything I said. And I'm smarter than you. And who do you think you are telling me something? Like, wow, okay. And the thing is, as we age, rebellion increases. And then eventually, sometimes they find out, boy, I was wrong about that. And then they come back and say, well, my dad was one of the smartest people. Like, well, how did you go from here to here to that? You see, and the thing is, we hate authority. Parental authority, marital authority, the governments and the police.
Yep.
We hate that. Well, he might pull me over. And we're worried about that. But this is what Paul says right in the Titus. Let me get you in the word here again. He says here, looking in Titus, there's so many places I'd like to do. I'm just going to kind of spot read through this. He is Paul, he says in the first verse, servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, you see that, promised before the world began. God, who cannot lie, you ought to understand that. He promised before the world began. Now notice this, verse 3, but in due times manifested his word through preaching. Wow. God has manifested his word through preaching. You're not going to get this on CNN, folks. It's not going to come to you on the NBC News. It's going to come to you through preaching. What God said, the things he has ordained before the foundation of the world, which is committed unto me, Paul says, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son. He's speaking of a spiritual son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And that's what he says in his introduction. Now, a couple of things I don't want to skip over. He says that this is the hope of eternal life, which is something offered to every man, woman, boy, and girl. God is no respecter of persons. Doesn't make any difference what you did, how long you've been doing it. You know what, you could have been like Paul, and I hated the church. And I'm going down to bust it up. Because it's got to go. And I'm going to go get authority from the highest place in the land and from the Jews. And we got to stop this thing because it's evil. You could be that 180 degrees wrong as the writer of this letter. And God can turn you around and give you a place in his church. Give you a place to preach his word and to carry his word. Preaching doesn't necessarily mean from a pulpit all the time. Now notice what he says, writing to Titus. For this cause, verse 5, Titus 1:5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I appointed you, as I had appointed thee. So he's reminding Titus why I left you there in Crete. Crete was a small island between two big main lands where you can come off of this one. People go to Crete because that's as far as you could get. And without having to stop and get some water and do stuff you had to do to travel to sea in those days. Crete was a little island between the mainland of Greece and the coast of where Israel is and the Middle East. And so people stopped at Crete and they exchanged cargo. Like, I might take my goods here to Crete, and people from Corinth would bring their goods to Crete. And then we would exchange goods, and then they go back to Corinth, and we go back to Israel, for example, things of that sort. So Crete was kind of like a middle point out there in the sea. And he said, you know what, I want to leave you here, Titus, at Crete. And this is why I left you here, for this cause, verse 5, I left thee in Crete that thou should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city. In other words, go all up and down the island appointing and ordaining elders. And then he told him what an elder needs to be. But I want to cut to the chase. In chapter number 3, he says this, Titus 3, and this is one of my favorite. I don't know, I say that all the time. I shouldn't say that. This is one of my favorite verses in the scripture. He says, he talks about the fallenness of man, Titus 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish,
yep,
disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts,
yes,
and pleasures, yes, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Who? The church folk. Us, yes. Listen to that. He said we were ourselves. Then he says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. In other words, the first advent of Christ.
Yes.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us.
Hallelujah.
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See that?
Yes.
So there was a time when there was no hope. It was dark. Basically, people were being saved, but they had to be saved by obedience to the promises that God made. But Paul says now it's been fully revealed what God was doing. He was planning to send his son. I didn't believe his son. He doesn't say that in here, but it's implied. But every time I read Paul, I have to remember he hated Jesus before he started to preach the gospel.
Yes, he did.
I hate you, and I got to rub out what you started. I don't believe you, and you got to go. And the folks who trust you got to go. Think about that. That's why he says, you know how we were. All of us, foolish, hating one another. All that. But when God revealed the gospel, and this is what it takes, you have to understand God loves you no matter what you're dealing with. You can be dealing with all that stuff we talked about earlier. And you might still be struggling with it, even after you trust Christ. I'm not standing up here thinking everybody in the church is pristine and has no problem with any kind of a sin issue. I got a little good silence in the room off of that statement.
Amen.
But it's true. We got issues. And we need to believe God and continue to believe him. And God will fix our mind. He will make us where we trust what he said above everything else. He will fix it. He's the only one who can fix it. Nobody else can. See, you know what? Dr. Phil won't be able to fix it. Dr. anybody else won't be able to fix it. Steve, what's his name?
Harvey.
He won't be able to fix it. But God can fix it. Now, notice what he says here. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. So don't go thinking, man, you know, all the good stuff I did outweighs the bad. That's how the average person thinks. But that's not true, because God won't accept any bad stuff. That's why you need Jesus.
Jesus
died because he's the only one that can pay your bills.
The only one.
Entirely. He's the only one who God will accept. He is the only one who God has authorized. He is the only one that will receive any glory in eternity. It's Christ himself. See? And he will share his glory with you if you believe and understand the gospel, that it's by grace through faith in Christ that we are saved. And our faith in believing that God raised him from the dead, which also is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. I'm almost done. Notice this. He says that we are done this way by the washing of regeneration. That means a new birth process, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace. That's how you get justified. What does that mean? That means I'm made right with God by his grace. That means I don't deserve it. He gives it to me because of Christ. That we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And he said, these things I will that thou affirm constantly. That's why I'm taking time with this today. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. See, so we want to maintain good works.
Yes.
It's not that we're doing it because if I don't do it, I'm not going to be saved. Salvation is a free gift.
Yes, it is.
God will give it to whosoever and anyone that believes that Jesus Christ died and paid the bill entirely. The Bible says that he is the propitiation. That means he pays the whole bill all by himself. See, he pays it, and whoever trusts him and believes that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. Now, when you say, what I want to say now is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ and learning to love like he does means I want to know what God said. I'm going to stand on what God said, no matter what popular opinion is, no matter what is politically correct. They say politically correct can send you to hell. Because what God said is what's going to stand when the heavens and earth have passed away. If you're standing here, you're on more firm real estate than you are on the planet. Because he said the heavens and earth shall pass away. They have an appointment with destruction. They're going to be rolled up like a scroll. John said, I watched and saw as the heavens and earth fled away from him that sat upon the throne. And there was no place found for them. Then he said, I continued to behold, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God, as a bride adorned for her husband. That's what he said. So glorious, so beautiful to see a new heaven and a new earth. And we got people talking, are we going to destroy the earth with our pollution? You always ask, you know, they say, well, you know, got to dispose of those tires and all that properly and asbestos and all that. And I said, you know, where did that rubber come from? Oh, out of plants. Where did they grow? In the ground. Oh, okay. Where did that asbestos come from? Out of the ground. Oh, okay. So if we put it back in the ground, that's a problem. And that's where it came from. All the stuff you took out came out of the ground. And now it's a problem if we put it back where it came from. Hello. 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 It's amazing. And then we buy that. Oh, now you got to pay $29.95 for this, because in order for you to dispose of that properly, what are you going to do? Send it to the Mars or to the moon? Where'd it come from? Out the ground? Oh, okay, I got you. We need to wake up and smell the coffee. But if you're here today and you're not saved, I want to let you know God loves you just like you are. He wants to teach you to love just like he did and like he does. And his word will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. That's what he said. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, he was still concerned about the sin issue, you know, because I still have a problem, boy. But I need to hide your word in my heart. In other words, make it a part of how I think and the way I live. And when I hear something contradicting what you said, I must stand on your side. Who is on the Lord's side, Moses said. If you are, step over here. Whoever else, stay over there. See, if you're on the Lord's side, come on home here where I'm at, he said. But I'm standing on the truth. See, you know what? You won't be popular. You may not be invited to the Stephen Colbert show. You know, because we would have to censor every other thing you said if you come on here. And you might even get booed if you come on here. But are you ready to stand on that? Jesus went before the authorities and Pilate told him, you know what, I have the authority to crucify you, or I have the authority to let you go. Oh, you do. He said, you know what, you wouldn't have any authority if my father didn't give it to you. Remember that? He didn't reject what Pilate said because he knew why he came. He gave respect to all those kings. They paraded him between king to king. He said, well, is this who you want? This the one I've been looking for? They looked at him like he was merely nothing. Send him back over there. He, I don't have nothing to do with him. Send him out of here. And he went back and forth day and night.
My Lord.
All night long.
My Lord.
They were trying to get it done before sunrise. We don't want to corrupt the Sabbath. But we're trying to be holy. So let's get this over with so we can get this out of here. Get it out the public square so we can have our little ritual and our ceremony. That's the way they were. People who he had given authority. See? But if you trust him and believe in him, the Bible says you shall be saved. See, you know what? I trust his word. That's the only reason I have the audacity to preach. Because otherwise I'm not qualified to preach. But I trust his word. And I believe the word is going to be good when the heavens and earth have passed away. If you're not saved, pray with me. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for giving us salvation. Father, it's a free gift. You gave your only begotten Son. You said, whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life, because you so loved us that you did this. And you raised him out the grave, because even death, our most heinous enemy, was defeated at the cross. And Jesus gave up the ghost, having satisfied everything that was necessary for the salvation of whosoever believes in him. And so, Father, we come simply by grace and simply by faith. Nothing else. Like the songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, but only to your cross I cling. And so, Father, save anybody who's praying with me right now, who wants to be saved. Realize it's an act of your will. God has given his Son so that you can freely receive the gift of salvation. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, Father, we love you the best we know how. Teach us to love one another, even as you have loved us. And help us, Father, as we walk this walk of faith. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. We ask this in the matchless name of your Son, Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah, who you rose from the grave, giving victory over death and all power into his hands. Father, we thank you that you said all power is given to me. Jesus said, in heaven and earth, go you therefore and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the world. Amen. So we bless your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. Hope that you did receive a good word from the message tonight. We pray that God will work in your life that which is well pleasing in his sight. Amen. I have enjoyed this Sabbath service. Keep in mind, this is the interesting thing, you know, the actual Sabbath.